Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. We have a very important episode of Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. I said briefly to Dr. Khan off the air, he will be helping a lot of people today. I'm just of the belief, I believe that America is more sleep deprived than ever before with the obesity and everything that's just going on. Sleep apnea is the topic specifically, but all these things are at play right now. Dr. Zeeshan Khan is our distinguished guest, a pulmonologist, board certified in pulmonary disease, critical care medicine, and sleep medicine. He is the medical director of the Deborah Heart and Lung Center's Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine. Great background, earned his medical degree at Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine in Erie, Pennsylvania. After medical school, he completed both his residency in internal medicine and fellowship in pulmonary disease and critical care medicine at UMDNJ. He went on to complete a fellowship in sleep medicine at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Khan's special interests include sleep disorders, hypersomnia, how about that one? Not just insomnia, hypersomnia, advanced diagnostic bronchoscopy, endobronchial ultrasound, and critical care. And he has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. We have a really important 30 minutes together, Dr. Khan. Welcome to your program, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being on your radio show,
Harry. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So let's get right into it. The topic is sleep apnea. What is sleep apnea? And tell us a bit about the symptoms.
Sure. Sleep apnea is a common disorder. I mean, there's rough estimates that it may affect up to 25 million Americans. And basically what it is in the back of the throat where the airway and the throat kind of come together, that area can become narrow or even close off. And when that happens, there's diminished oxygen going from your mouth into your lungs. And subsequently, that can lead to a lot of medical consequences, which we'll probably describe later on today. And some of the most common symptoms, so while you're sleeping, one of the most common symptoms is snoring, which is kind of either described by your bed partner or whoever it may. Sometimes people wake up to their own snoring. Gasping for air, choking, there's breathing pauses, kind of frequent waking up in the middle of the night. And then during the day, many people say they feel tired, not refreshed, sleepy, and as well as people have difficulty concentrating. There's been many kind of symptoms associated with, as you described too, sleep deprivation and poor quality sleep.
Now, I'm just thinking about this out loud. When you say 25 million people, there are probably, see if you agree with me on this, I don't know what the number is. It could be many millions more. I suspect it's a big number that are undiagnosed, correct?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you hit it on the head. Most of these people are unfortunately not diagnosed. Either, number one, that they've been kind of ignoring their symptoms and kind of thinking that many patients I see, they think it's kind of, they've been living this for most of their life, so they're not sure that it's abnormal. Or otherwise, you just don't seek medical care.
There's people every night, Doc, that actually stop breathing, right? Multiple times during the night, correct? And then maybe they wake up because, you know, the will to live is like, hey, wake this guy up, wake this gal up. This person's not breathing at the moment. So you wake up kind of, stunned by that. So there are people every night, multiple times, like you bring them into your amazing sleep diagnostic center, and then you can observe them where they actually stop breathing multiple times every night, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's actually pretty amazing. I mean, so by definition, we say that they have at least 5 events per hour. So we diagnose sleep apnea based on how many events you have per hour. And, you know, I see patients who have 100 times an hour, 120 times an hour, they either stop breathing or their oxygen level is dropping. And as you can imagine, that has significant consequences.
So if you have that, by definition, you cannot have restorative sleep. If you're dealing with this level of stress and these events, these episodes, you can't get restorative. Will you ever get into like the deep REM stage? You can't get restorative sleep unless you address this, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of go into the deeper stages, but it's very short-lived, right? And as you're saying, it's just, unfortunately, these patients, they're bouncing between all these different sleep stages, and they just cannot get into that typical rhythm that we all go through, where we go into kind of what we say REM sleep every 90 minutes. These patients, unfortunately, they're just going into a light, medium, deep sleep, but it's real quick, instantaneous. Their brain wakes up, and they kind of have to reset.
Deborah Heart Lung Center presents Dr. Khan, the medical director of the Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine, a very important topic this half hour on Deborah Heart Lung Center presents Dr. Khan. Sleep apnea is the topic, and we're going to really do a deep dive into this as we continue our interview with Dr. Khan. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can navigate from the website demanddeborah.org. It's so easy, and you'll be prompted right from there, or you could call 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080. And again, Deborah Heart and Lung Center, they're accepting new patients. Dr. Khan, another, you know, sounds so basic, but such an important question. What are the causes of sleep apnea?
Yeah, you know, the it's a complicated process, but to kind of put in simple words, basically in the back of the throat, the tissues, when we all sleep, the muscles in the back of the throat, they become relaxed. And people who have sleep apnea, the throat and the airway completely collapses or gets really narrow. And when you're on your back, typically gravity pushes on everything, and that can get worse. So a lot of these patients, you know, they say that they snore or they have, you know, they actually wake up jumping out of bed because when they lie on their back, things get worse.
So would you be better if you're dealing with this? Obviously, I want them to go to you and I want a full workup and really, you know, get right at what's actually happening. But sleeping on the side, would that be better than sleeping on your back?
Yeah, so that's brought up a lot. You know, they've done actually research on this, and it can help to some degree, but the problem is, as you can imagine, once you're asleep, you're all over the place, right? Yeah. You can't control your body position, so it makes it very difficult to do that, yeah.
Good point. That's why you're the expert. What are the types of sleep apnea?
Yeah. So there's two types. Typically, when we refer to sleep apnea, it's referring to obstructive sleep apnea is what kind of I described, is where the airway closes off or gets narrow, which is the most common type. But there's also something called central sleep apnea. And basically, that's where there's a disconnect between the brain kind of triggering you to breathe. And that can be found in people who have either some kind of neurologic disease, strokes, or a lot of times people who have what we call heart failure can also have central sleep apnea.
We'll get one more question, and we only take one break. We'll take it in a few minutes, and then we'll go right through to the end of the program. One and only one break with Dr. Khan this morning on Deborah Heart Lung Center Presents. We're at just about 15 minutes past the hour. It's already flying by, but we still have a lot of important content that we're going to share. You mentioned snoring. Relative to sleep apnea, does someone being a sleep snorer, does that constitute that you have a sleep disorder, that you have sleep apnea, or could you snore and not have any of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question. So snoring, it is technically a sleep disorder. So in the most recent international classification of sleep disorders, it is a sleep disorder, but snoring in itself, isolated, as far as we know, it's not harmful to your health. But when snoring is associated with sleep apnea, then obviously that is linked to medical consequences. And basically what snoring is the narrowing anywhere along, you know, from your nose and mouth down to the back of the airway. And anytime there's narrowing of that airway, that causes vibrations, and that's what that snoring sound is.
I think as a layperson, I can just say this, that most people, laypersons, they don't really think about how they sleep. I think they know if they're a side sleeper or they sleep on their stomach or they sleep on their back, but they don't think about, is my mouth open when I'm sleeping? Do I breathe out of my nose? Would it be perfect if your mouth was closed and you breathed through your nose and you were not a mouth breather during sleep? What are your thoughts about that, Random? That's sort of like a wild card question I'm just throwing at you.
Yeah, no. I think that, yeah, I mean, many people, you know, they unfortunately, they do sleep and they breathe through their mouth, you know, as kids, you know, if you think about babies, you know, when they're nursing, they obviously breathe through their nose.
Yeah.
But as they get older, due to different issues, whether they have chronic nasal congestion, allergies, they eventually start breathing through their mouth, or they have, you know, enlarged tonsils or adenoids. And, you know, that can kind of typically make you more susceptible to developing, you know, mouth breathing and eventually sleep apnea.
Very interesting.
But you're right. Most people are not fully aware of, you know, how they breathe, or, you know, many times, you know, we give the patients, when they come in to see us, we ask them to bring their bed partner or have their bed partner fill out a questionnaire too, because they can help answer some of these questions.
Yeah, they can be the one to tell you that that person does snore, because so many people say, I don't snore. Well, you certainly do. And if I turn on my recorder on my iPhone, I'll play it for you. And it sounds like a freight train, but they don't know it. They're asleep. You mentioned that you could wake up out of your own snoring, but most people will say they don't snore because they've never been presented with evidence that they do snore. You are listening to Dr. Zeeshan Khan. He is the medical director of Deborah's Institute for Sleep Medicine. This is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Khan, an important discussion today about sleep apnea. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can make an appointment either on the website. So any digital device, your smartphone, laptop, desktop, whatever, iPads, you can go to demanddeborah.org. You can make an appointment right from the website, or you can call 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080 with Dr. Khan. We will be back in just a few minutes. I am Hurley in the Morning.
The WPG Talk Radio app is your connection to South Jersey's talk station. Get free, unlimited local and statewide news from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Download all of our local shows as podcasts and more, powered by Ambient Comfort. For installation to repairs and maintenance, give Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling a call today at 856-213-6586. AmbientComfortNJ.com.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Join me this afternoon at 3. Now back to Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you, Sean. We are presenting the distinguished Dr. Zeeshan Khan, who is the Medical Center Director at Deborah Institutes for Sleep Medicine, Deborah Heart and Lung Center pulmonologist, board certified all over the place. And again, the medical director of Deborah Institute for Sleep Medicine. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is sleep apnea. I checked some of the digital feedback that we were receiving during the interview so far, and a listener asked a question. I brought up obesity in my introduction, but we never really got into that. And the listener is asking about what role does being overweight play in sleep apnea, Dr. Khan?
Yeah, obesity has been linked to sleep apnea for multiple reasons, but one of the basic concepts is that when as the weight goes up, it's not about just, many people think that, you know, a lot of times the weight is typically around, you know, the belly area, but it can actually deposit. They've done research that it can deposit around the throat area and also in the back of the tongue. And that kind of narrow and compresses the airway, and that's what can lead to these breathing events and eventual being diagnosed with sleep apnea.
To the guest listener, Jeff, question asked and answered, and it probably would have come up in our next question for Dr. Khan, and that is, what are the factors that increase the risk of sleep apnea?
Right. So definitely obesity is one of them, as we mentioned. Age is another one that's been linked. Typically middle age to older adults are at higher chance of having sleep apnea. Men are usually twice as common to have sleep apnea than women, but typically that becomes almost equivalent after menopause, and that's probably linked to hormonal issues. Medications have been linked to sleep apnea, as well as alcohol, and that can be due to just the relaxation of the muscles in the upper airway, and then the kind of anatomy of the airway. So having enlarged tonsils or having kind of a narrow throat can also be linked to it. Sometimes people who have some jaw deformities can also have sleep apnea. Those are typically the most common risk factors for that.
I was thinking about, like, if someone lives alone, they might never they don't know they snore. I wake up, I'm so tired, I don't get restorative sleep, but they just think it's just stress and their life, and that they don't get enough hours of sleep, but they're not getting quality sleep with the sleep they are getting. How do you diagnose sleep apnea?
Yeah, I mean, typically, you know, either patients, after suffering from these symptoms for a long period of time, they either see their primary doctor or their other doctors, and they've had kind of workups, and nothing kind of comes back where they can kind of pinpoint what's causing some of these symptoms, then they eventually come to me. Or, like we talked about, if they're actually having a lot of these events themselves and they notice it, they come to see us, and eventually they undergo a sleep study. So there's two ways to do a sleep study: one's in the sleep lab and one's at home. And, you know, like we talked about before, depending on how many breathing events you have per hour, we're able to eventually diagnose you with sleep apnea.
Going to come back to the study, because that's going to be huge for our listeners to learn about that, both the sleep study that would be done at your place and a sleep study that can be done at home. Before we get to that, what are the treatments for sleep apnea?
Yeah, the most common treatment for sleep apnea is something called CPAP, which, you know, many people have heard about. And that's that device, that kind of that, with the mask and the hose attached to it. And, you know, the older version of that was scary for many people, but it's evolved over time. And basically what that does is just blows in air at a certain pressure and keeps the windpipe from collapsing and closing off. And there's many different adjustments to it. Even the masks, like sometimes they look like little nose pillows, we call them. They can kind of look like similar to like how you see people wear oxygen. And it has a humidifier attached to it. And there's a lot of different comfort levels for it. And it works really well. It's just the problem is sometimes not everybody can tolerate it. There's also oral appliances that the dentist can make, which advances your jaw. And that can help some people with sleep apnea who have mild to moderate disease. There's surgical techniques, but unfortunately surgical techniques are a bit drastic and just don't work as well as some of the other modalities. And then one of the newer treatments that many people have been seeing the commercials for and they ask us about is something called the Inspire device. And what that does is it can it stimulates the nerve that kind of helps the tongue move. And in certain people with sleep apnea, the tongue completely obstructs the airway, and by stimulating that with this device, it can relieve that obstruction. And then we talked a little bit about weight and obesity earlier, but you know, people have to realize that obviously that weight loss can definitely help sleep apnea, but if it's quite severe, weight loss won't completely cure it, but it'll definitely help it along.
Dr. Khan, you mentioned the studies. Let's break it down into two parts for someone that would want to come to Deborah Heart and Lung Center, to your amazing facility, talk about what that is like, and then talk about if there is an at-home sleep study that can be done.
Yeah. So the traditional way of doing the study is, as you mentioned, is the one we do in the sleep lab here, and that's where you come here in the evening and spend the night. In the sleep lab, and in our sleep lab, and like most sleep labs, there, it's a private room, own bathroom, and you get monitored kind of head to toe. So we can monitor your brain waves, your breathing events, your oxygen level, your heart rhythm, and whether you move your arms and legs at nighttime. There's also a camera to monitor everything, and obviously that gives us the most information. But you know, in someone who's generally healthy, with minimal medical issues and has a lot of symptoms and risk factor sleep apnea, then sometimes the home test is done. And the home test can be done in different manners, but the one we do here is quite simple. You wear a watch-like device, which has a probe to your finger and also something that attaches to your chest, and it connects Bluetooth to your phone. And it's, you connect it to the phone and you wear it at night, and then you dispose of it the next day. And that can give us some recent amount of information. But if that test comes back negative, then we do usually recommend that you come into the lab and sleep over, just because the home test can sometimes be inaccurate.
Do people have a hard time? Because it would probably feel very unnatural. I don't know if you have a Holter monitor, all these different things. You have all these monitors and things going on and you're not at home. Is it tough sometimes for people to just let go and just sleep? Because that's what you need them to do. You just need them to fall asleep and do what they do every night. Is it tricky for some people when they're in the sleep lab?
Yeah. It can definitely be, not the usual, and, we call it the first night effect. But, eventually most people do fall asleep. And, to diagnose sleep apnea, for the most part, we only need a few hours of sleep. Ideally, we would like them to sleep the whole night, but even a few hours can give us enough information. And, I've seen a lot of patients, and I can probably count the amount of patients on one hand that have not slept the entire night. So it's infrequent where they don't sleep at all. Yeah.
And like you said, at some point they're going to typically fall asleep and you're going to get what you need. Dr. Khan, not to scare anyone, but just to share, the truth. What happens if you just go on and on with this, if sleep apnea goes untreated?
Yeah. It's been linked to many medical, disorders and consequences, but just in terms of the way people feel, they're reduced alertness, they have issues concentrating, they feel sleepy during the day. There's been research that's shown that people with severe sleep apnea have a chance of getting into a car accident twice as the amount than a normal person. On the news, there's been a lot of reports of people getting into these big accidents. The Exxon oil spill was linked to this. There's been a lot of NJ Transit and subway crashes linked to all these people who had sleep apnea that were not treated. And then just the medical issues, the list goes on and on, but some of the most common things linked to sleep apnea that's not been treated is high blood pressure, heart disease, heart attacks, abnormal heart rhythms, strokes. The list just goes on and on, unfortunately. Yeah,
serious too. No small things. These are major complications. Things you just don't want to have happen, especially when you can get treatment. You can get help for this. So there's no reason to suffer in silence or let this go on. You don't have to get to that point. Does it also happen that sometimes someone just simply stops breathing and they pass away? That happens too, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it's been linked to what we call sudden cardiac death. A lot of people have heard of Reggie White, the former football player.
Yeah.
People can have massive heart attacks and just pass away while they're sleeping because of that stress that they're undergoing at nighttime.
This is a big question. We've got time for two more questions with Dr. Khan. Sleep apnea is the topic on Deborah Heart Lung Center Presents. Can you prevent sleep apnea in the first place?
Yeah, that's another great question. So I guess the answer is yes and no, sir, right? So unfortunately, there's people who are at higher risk of having sleep apnea, whether it's related to genetics or like we talked about the anatomy of their airway. But there are some lifestyle changes that are important. So we talked about weight loss, so people who are overweight, let extra weight, like we talked about, can increase the chances of them having sleep apnea. So losing that weight can help and eliminate sleep apnea in some people. There's also, smoking has also been linked to sleep apnea. So working on that, and as a pulmonologist, that's one of our pet peeves is when people smoke. And then, alcohol also has been linked to sleep apnea, and minimizing that can also improve the symptoms and consequences.
I know you've done a wonderful job overviewing this topic. For someone just tuning in now or for those who have been with us for the full program, why should someone see a sleep specialist at Deborah?
Yeah, here at Deborah, it's one of the older sleep labs in New Jersey. It's a comprehensive sleep center, and all of us are board certified in sleep medicine. And we have experts not just in sleep apnea specifically, but in all sleep disorders. And I think, we do a pretty good job, we think. And most patients are very happy when they see one of us and are taken care of here.
And finally, Dr. Khan, we saved a minute and a half or 2 minutes, whatever time you need, for a closing comment. Anything that you would like to share with your listeners about today's topic, sleep apnea? Closing comment.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would reinforce is what we talked about earlier is that sleep apnea is a very common medical condition, and unfortunately, it's under-recognized. And if you have any of these symptoms or any of these medical issues that we spoke about, I think it's important to seek care. And a lot of times people are put off by hearing about CPAP or any of the treatments. And I always say it's always worth trying, you know, and seeing how you feel after. And, you know, there's many different options we can do to treat these patients. And our goal here at DeBoer, and I think, you know, all healthcare providers, is try to help our patients as much as we can. And, you know, we try to do that one step at a time here.
Let me squeeze in one last follow-up, because I think it would also encourage people to reach out to you to get help. And we'll give the number to reach Dr. Khan before the end of the program, which we're quickly reaching at this moment. In terms of someone that actually has dealt with this, and I think sometimes people, as you know, deal with it for a long time, and then finally they just say, I've got to do something about this. I don't feel that I'm getting enough sleep, and it's not quality, not restorative. When people get help, what do they say? If you go from not getting restorative sleep to getting restorative sleep, I would just think everything improves, your outlook on life, your quality of life, your vitality, all of this. It's game-changing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's some amazing stories of some of the patients, you know, I've treated. You know, it's they feel like they're a different person because their sleep quality has changed. They're getting restful sleep. They're able to function during the day. And many times, you know, a lot of our patients have complicated heart and lung problems, and many of those problems improve with the treatment of sleep apnea, and they're very grateful for that. And obviously the other physicians that we work with, they're always happy too to kind of use another kind of modality to treat their condition.
We did it. I kept you an extra minute. I apologize. It's 36 minutes past the hour. Mm-hmm. DeBoer Heart Lung Center has presented today. Dr. Zeeshan Khan, who is the medical director of DeBoer Institute for Sleep Medicine, DeBoer Heart Lung Center, accepting new patients. You can request an appointment either on the website, demanddebora.org, or call 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080. Dr. Khan, you gave such an important presentation today. I've really enjoyed our time together.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome, sir.